just what is happening in Putin's Russia.
Yesterday was quite a dramatic day by Kremlin standards, I would say.
We'll break it all down. Plus, the Dow closes over 29,000 for the first time as investors cheer the signing of the Phase 1 U.S.-China trade deal.
While the actual signing wasn't really news for markets, it was still a psychological milestone that helped push the Dow up.
And we reveal the best and worst airlines. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we look at Vladimir Putin's latest moves, here's what you missed. No investigation, no aid. Lev Parnas, a key associate of Rudy Giuliani, said yesterday that he warned a top staffer to Ukraine's president that the U.S. would halt aid if Ukraine didn't announce investigations that could benefit President Trump politically. Parnas told MSNBC that he did so at the instructions of Giuliani. The White House didn't respond to our request for comment. The Ukrainian staffer has previously denied that military aid was a subject of their discussions, and Giuliani said he didn't know Parnas relayed that message to Ukraine. Parnas was arrested in October on campaign finance charges. He's pled not guilty. I think you called me a liar on national TV. CNN microphones picked up Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren saying that to Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders after Tuesday's Democratic debate. On stage after the event was over, Sanders replies, "You called me a liar," before walking away. During the debate, Sanders denied that he told Warren in 2018 that a woman couldn't win the presidency. That differs from Warren's account. The southeastern part of Australia was hit with heavy rain and flash flooding today. That could help extinguish the fires that have been ravaging the country, but it could also cause other problems. Reporter Mike Cherney has more from Sydney.
What happens is because so much of the vegetation has burned, the soil is therefore more easily dislodged when there's heavy rainfall events. And what that can do is it can send basically harmful ash, debris, and other sort of chemicals like what they were using to fight the fires into rivers and waterways, which does present a challenge for the water authorities.
This year has been the worst fire season in Australia's history, and it's not over yet. Already, at least 27 people have died and thousands of homes have been destroyed. Some estimates say that more than a billion animals could have perished, leading some species to the brink of extinction. Scientists have linked the intensity of the fires to climate change. Now, our main story. It was a tumultuous political day, not just in Washington, but in Moscow yesterday. Within the space of a few hours, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev resigned, and President Vladimir Putin proposed changes to Russia's constitution that would help him to cement power. Our reporter, Georgi Kanchev, is in Moscow. So, Georgi, let's start with Medvedev. Why did he resign, and was it a surprise?
Yeah, I mean, Russia usually used here to quite a bit of order and stability. And yesterday was quite a dramatic day by Kremlin standards, I would say. And we had a succession of news events. In the beginning of the day, kind of around noon, Putin announced sweeping constitutional changes. Then later, a couple of hours later, Prime Minister Medvedev resigned, which was unexpected. Now, there's a few theories why that might be. He was pretty unpopular among Russians, given economic stagnation here, and there were lots of protests last year. And that could be one of the reasons why he, as a prime minister who is in charge of domestic policy and the economy, has to go. But of course, the broader reason here and the broader issue is Putin's succession, because Putin has to leave power by 2024, and Medvedev's resignation can be seen as a way for Putin to install someone new and kind of help him with this process.
Let's talk about those constitutional changes you mentioned. What did Putin propose?
Well, Putin proposed these constitutional changes, which basically weakened the presidency, and instead they give more power and empower the parliament to have more oversight over the prime minister and the prime minister's office as well. But also, which is interesting and a potential hint, they these proposed changes are boosting the role of the State Council. That's an advisory body. It's quite obscure right now, but Putin suggested that this body will have more powers, and Putin himself is the head of that body. So one suggestion by analysts here is that by 2024, when he has to leave the presidency, he could stay on as chairman and head of that State Council body, and from there retain control.
What's been the reaction inside Russia to these developments?
It's been a surprise for sure among a lot of the analysts here and politicians as well, including senior government officials. This seems to have been known by a very small kind of group of people. But again, the 2024 question has been a big issue for the country for a while, and it's kind of growing as time has gone by. Next year to 2021, there's elections for parliament here, for the Duma. So that's a big stepping stone towards the next presidential elections. And that's why people were looking for hints and clues as to what Putin's future will be. And yesterday was a big day for that.
Have we seen any response from the U.S.?
Not really. No, we haven't seen much in the U.S. Obviously, people were preoccupied with the impeachment debates. And it's really also unknown at this stage what exactly these changes mean for certain. It's a lot of fodder for criminologists and journalists, of course. But in terms of some firm decisions, we don't know yet what these proposed changes and these new faces actually mean.
You can find all of our Russia coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. The Dow closed above 29,000 for the first time ever after President Trump signed a Phase 1 trade deal with China. The S&P 500 also closed at a record. Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff has more on what cheered investors.
So we've been seeing the market go up for a while now on expectations that this deal would get signed. And while the actual signing wasn't really news for markets, it was still a psychological milestone that helped push the Dow up and the S&P, in part because a lot of the tech companies on the Dow wind up using parts made in China. And so some of the concern was that, you know, President Trump at one point told companies to get out of China, to pull their manufacturing out of there. And so it seems like tensions are de-escalating, and that's going to be beneficial for those companies. There's also the expectation that those companies will continue to do well with the low interest rate environment that we have currently and is expected to hold through this year. And so the Dow is performing very well and is expected to potentially cross 30,000 in the coming weeks, months by that growth.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Earnings season continues. After mixed results from Bank of America and Goldman Sachs yesterday, we'll get fourth quarter reports from Morgan Stanley and Charles Schwab today. We'll also get December retail sales, usually the busiest month for retailers. Finally, it's the moment you've all been waiting for, our annual ranking of the best and worst airlines of 2019. Here's our middle seat columnist, Scott McCartney, with the winner.
So Delta was the best. Delta has been the best for the past 3 years now. They canceled flights at the lowest rate in the business. They have the best on-time rate. They're best among airlines in the lowest rate of passengers being denied boarding, essentially bumping passengers. And they do pretty well in complaints and baggage and other categories.
And of course, the loser.
Last was American. And American has been last in, I think, 3 out of our last 5 years. American actually had really hoped that this was going to be a turnaround year for them, and it didn't work out that way at all. A lot of it has to do with the contract negotiations they had with their mechanics, dragged on a lot longer and a lot nastier than the Southwest situation. American went to federal court and sued their own employees, got a federal judge to issue an order that they had to stop a work slowdown, but it didn't have any effect. This went on through most of the summer, really. 7 months of the year were impacted by this. And it took a heavy toll on travelers. Certainly the airline, actually in talking to them about it, and in hindsight, if it happened again, I think they would do things differently.
You can find the full rankings and a breakdown of our methodology up on our website. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.